May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 778. Though straight be the way with dangers beset, and we on the way are no farther yet, our good guide and Saviour has helped us thus far, and 'tis by his favour we are what we are. 778.
Thank you.
let us read from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. And it came to pass, when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets, and calling unto their fellows, and saying, We have piped unto you, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, He hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May the Lord bless his word and help Dave in prayer. O Lord, do help us now to come low to thy footstool. Lord, we are sinners, and we come before a thrice holy God. Lord, we cannot come in our own strength, our own wisdom, our own mind, for there is nothing good in us, but we would come with humility of spirit low to thy feet, pleading for mercy, that thou wilt forgive our iniquity, that thou wilt reveal our interest in the precious blood of Jesus Christ, that we may plead it before thee, that he is our sacrifice, and we shall be accepted in him. Oh, we thank thee for this precious gospel, and we do ask that this day the gospel may sound in our hearts with divine power, that thou hast lived and died for us, dear Jesus, that thou dost ever live to make intercession for us, and that thy cries are heard in our behalf. And Lord, hear the cries of each one gathered here, we pray. Cries for the things of this time state, but especially for those cries concerning the soul of each one of us, that soon we must face eternity, the day of judgment, stand before thee and hear thy just judgment, whether it is that as the goats we shall be sent down to everlasting hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, or whether we shall hear those wonderful words, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Lord, do cause us to tremble at the thought of this great day which is before each one of us, and to plead with thee, show me that I am born of God, and that my treasure is above, that it was not anything in us, no goodness of ours, nothing of our birth, of the way we have lived, for sin is mixed with all, but it was all of thy sovereign goodness that thou hast chosen some to life while others die. O Lord, we ask now, grant us that right solemnity before thee, to plead with thee that thou wilt look upon us and not cast us away, that thou wilt come and say unto our souls, live. Oh, we do pray then that thou wilt put that breath of living prayer in each soul, the sign of life imparted from above. And that, Lord, as we call upon thee now in public, thou wilt send thy Spirit to give that real prayer, that prayer which shall be received and heard, and to which thou wilt send answers of peace as we plead for souls. Plead, Lord, that thy work may appear in our midst here, and that thy name may be glorified thereby. O Lord, may not one soul here be left without the grace of God, without thy everlasting mercy, without the witness of the Holy Ghost, that Jesus is their Saviour, that he has made the way for us
to enter heaven. Oh, we do beseech thee then, Lord, come and touch our hearts. Melt us at the sight of our utter sinfulness. Bring us with true contrition down to thy feet. Nothing in ourselves, it must be all of thy grace. We would be as the eyes of servants looking unto the hands of their masters. Lord, in mercy, wilt thou bless us? Give us something which we have not got ourselves, eternal life. We ask that thou would abide with us here as a church and people, that we may hear thy word as we meet together, that there may be true worship in our hearts, that we may be brought lower and lower in our estimation of self and admire the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. O Lord, prepare us each for thy will. We have come to the first Lord's Day of another new year. And Lord, it is a time of reflection, of looking back over the past. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. And yet, Lord, it is a time of confession that we have not lived as we should have lived. And daily we have to come often to the end of the day and look back and say, unto us belongeth shame and confusion of faith. For our great sins, which we have sinned against thee, but unto our God belong great mercies. And we plead thy mercy, we plead thy love, and that thou wilt forgive all the sins of the past year, that we may find they are cast behind thy back, because we are loved in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we might hear that voice of love and mercy that sounds from Calvary when our Lord Jesus Christ, in all his infinite sufferings, cried, "It is finished." Oh, to know it is finished for us, that he has brought in everlasting righteousness for us, and we shall live through him. And now, Lord, as we venture on another year, help us to commit our cause unto thee. We do beseech thee, Lord, that thou wilt go before us each one in all the steps of this year, that thou wilt guide us by thy Spirit, that thou wilt keep us from all evil deed and keep us to the end, that we may know upholding grace, that we may find that thy Spirit will not let us go, that thou wilt restore unto us again the joy of thy salvation. Oh, do help each one to bring all things unto thee, to cast their burden upon the Lord, to look unto thee from the ends of the earth. And Lord, wilt thou save each one that does? We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt help in all the things of providence, all the heavy things that lie upon many. Lord, do make crooked things straight and rough places plain. Do direct them in the way in which thou would have them to go. May not one of us be left to go in a way of our own devising, Oh, how easily we slip into bypath meadow. Bring us back with a strong hand and an outstretched arm. And do bless us eternally, we pray. Oh, then that we might know thy presence going with us in all the steps of this year. And we ask that thou wilt specially remember those who have walked through deep paths in the past year, and that thou wilt grant them this year, that they may find, thou wilt grant them deliverance, that thou wilt strengthen them and bless them. And we do remember, Lord, the great things thou hast done for us. And we pray for truly thankful hearts, a heart to praise our God, a heart to remember all the way the Lord our God has led us. But do in this coming year, Lord, grant us these fresh blessings, these fresh showerings from above of thy love, mercy and peace into our souls, and that we may be brought low to thy feet in true worship that thou hast done it. It was nothing in us. It was all of thy grace. So we pray, abide with us. Leave us not, nor forsake us. For thou art the God of our salvation. We pray that thou wilt remember us in the services of thy house in this year. Lord, that as thy servants come among us, there may be a word in season for one and another, crumbs falling from the master's table, those things which may be taken home, and that in thy divine providence may feed our souls and enable us to go on leaning upon thee. Oh, we do pray, do not leave us not to come and go as the door upon its hinges, without any softening of heart, without anything done within through the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, may it be a year where we shall hear of the victories thou hast gained, victories over sin, death and hell, in the hearts of thy dear people. We pray for thy dear servant that we hope to hear this evening, that thou wilt come and bless the word through him, that we may be given an open ear to hear what the Spirit saith. O Lord, do enable us to come pleading that thou wilt speak through him, to hold up his arms by prayer. For Lord, it is thy work we long for, thy word sealed in our hearts. We ask that as each of thy servants come, we may be given a true spirit of prayer for them, and that thou wilt send down the blessing through them. We would pray for our nation at such a time as this. Lord, to us it is all confusion, but there is no confusion with thee. And we do beseech thee, Lord, that it may prove this year that thou art in control, that no thought can fly nor thing can move, unknown to him that sits above. And thou dost hold the hearts of men in thy hand, and that thou wilt remember thy remnant in this nation, and that it may please thee, Lord, to work that which is according to thy holy will for the good of thy people. But we remember that in thy word it is very clear that when thy wrath is upon a nation, thy people must suffer also. Lord, we confess our sin before thee in so often departing from thee, the worldliness that is in our hearts. And we pray, grant us that wrestling prayer which can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits, even for our nation. O Lord, may it please thee to arise. Arise, arise, O God of light, and put the hosts of hell to flight. We pray that if it may be thy holy sovereign will, we may be separated from the nations of Europe. But, O Lord, do now remember us and cast us not away. We pray that thou wilt help our brother as he reads a sermon to us this morning. May it prove to be one that thou hast ordained from time before time was, that thou shouldest speak to sinners. Lord, thy hand is not shortened that it cannot save. O Lord, we beseech thee, speak through thy word. O do come and bless souls, and may there be true worship in our midst, even this day. O, our hearts would be up unto thee. Grant us that tender, contrite spirit, and to hear what the Spirit of the Lord will say to us. So bless thy word. Grant us a hearing ear and an understanding heart. We pray that thou wilt bless the singing of thy praises also. And now those who are walking in afflictions at this time, Lord, put thy healing hand upon them. Restore them again in body. And, oh, grant that greater blessing, restoration to each soul. We fall before thee in confession of our unworthiness. Lord, we would abase ourselves before thee in confession of our utter sinfulness. Look upon us. Do not pass us by. Heal us of our backslidings. Pardon all our sins. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 388. Approach my soul the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer. There humbly fall before his feet, for none can perish there. 388.
Thank you.
I'll try and read to you a sermon preached by Mr. Herbert Dawson, and you'll find the text in the chapter we read, Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. I earnestly hope the God of all grace will enable me to say something which may be helpful and do poor sinners good. I would like to feel some of you are gathered here in the hope of getting some help under the gospel, and that you have been sowing in tears in the expectation of reaping in joy what will be for your soul's profit and peace. The text is familiar to you, and it may be you have heard a number of sermons preached from it. Possibly the text is so familiar to you that you do not realise and appreciate the fullness of the gospel set forth therein. Remember, Jesus Christ, verily God, verily man, is the glorious speaker in the text. Says Jesus, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. I shall be glad if two aspects of this blessed invitation are well understood and impressed upon our minds. I would ask you to consider the majesty of the inviter, for he is the God of all grace, who is of a truth the sinner's friend, and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, in making his friendship known. I sometimes think his name as the sinner's friend is the name which most encourages poor sinners as they seek him concerning the salvation of their souls. When you think of God, as some of you do, and the question arises, can such a holy God have anything whatever to do with you, a sinner so unholy and undone? Think also on what our hymn writer says, whom though we cannot comprehend, knowing thou art the sinner's friend, we love thee and adore. Think upon the majesty of the inviter, the Lord Jesus Christ. The hosts of heaven adore him in endless praises, setting forth his grandeur and his grace. Yet in our text he speaks so kindly to poor sinners such as you and I. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is the word of him who is the eternal Son of God in his divine nature. Do you believe this? Millions of poor sinners have proved this word to be what it is, the word of God, and their redeemed spirits are now around his throne in glory, singing his eternal praises. And still this word can be proved. Who can tell but what God may be gracious unto you? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden. Mark the wording. Underline the little word all in your minds, for it is big with encouragement. Young or old, it matters not in this respect. All ye that labour and are heavy laden. I would not only set before you the majesty of the inviter, but I ask you to think upon the mercy of the invitation. Do not look at our text cursorily, as the mere looking at black and white letterpress will not help you, but think upon what had to be done ere Jesus Christ could proclaim such a word as this, come unto me. Such an invitation makes the gospel to be good tidings of great joy to poor sinners who have ears to hear it. Go back in your minds to Eden's garden. There you will see how God, in his infinite wisdom as the Creator, made Adam and Eve and placed them therein, giving them a capacity as his creatures to enjoy all possible earthly happiness with which the garden was filled. He gave them, as they were made in his image, a free will, and they were the only two people who ever possessed it. God placed them under a law, and so long as they obeyed it, they could dwell in Eden's garden and enjoy the creature happiness it afforded. It is evident from the word of God that God made himself known to Adam as his creator and spoke to him as to how he was to order his life in Eden's garden, although we can only refer to this with trembling and not say more than the word of God declares. Alas, how soon was the fair picture in Eden's garden marred. The word of God tells us, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Sin and Satan wrought sad havoc, and what is termed the Adam fall took place. And Adam and Eve had to turn their backs upon that fullness of earthly happiness. They went out into a world now blighted by a solemn curse, and who can tell how miserable they must have been as they began to reap the dire consequences of their wrongdoing. Solemn is the reading in the word of God. "So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Oh, think, dear friends, "so he drove out the man." Not as you read in our text, "Come unto me." No, ere that beautiful word "come" can be spoken in the gospel proclamation, provision has to be made for the fiery sword guarding the way to the tree of life to be sheathed. Blessed be God, this was done by the speaker in our text when he died in the stead of poor sinners on Calvary's cross. Then the sword of divine justice was sheathed, and the way made sure for poor sinners to enter in through the gates into the city of God and have right to the tree of life. Meanwhile, the word in Eden's garden was, as it were, "Go, depart, not come unto me." I've told you these things very simply to bring out what had to be done ere the beautiful words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden," could be known in the gospel as the sweetest music that a sinner's ears could listen to. Again, under the law in Old Testament times, such a word was not heard. Find, if you can, such a word as "come unto me" under the law. No, such a word is unknown under the law. All the law can say is, "Do this or do that," or else, "Do not do this or that." And if it is not attended to as God desires it to be done, then the sinner must sweat it out in eternal misery. Righteousness to full perfection must be brought, lacking naught, fearless of rejection. The law is based on "do this and live." But the gospel is founded on this foundation truth, "Come unto me." And ere the gospel could be guaranteed in its proclamation that it might be put to the test and proved by millions of poor sinners, something had to be done, and no man or angel could do it. God, in his infinite wisdom, devised the way whereby it could be done. This explanation is exceedingly simple and sublime. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And of that dear Son of God, his own word declares, Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Is not it indeed a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation? Some of us desire to delight in the truth of it. Born a babe, by birth mysterious, he dwelt on earth as verily man, verily God in our nature. And what did he do? As verily man, he was made under law which says, Do this, do not do that. And on our behalf, as we humbly hope, he kept it in every jot and tittle of its requirements. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. In him we then perfection view. The saints in him are perfect too. As verily man, yet God in our nature, he went up to Calvary to die, the just for the unjust. Christ died for the ungodly. Then those great words echoed around the world, shaking also the confines of hell, reaching unto heaven itself, It is finished. Glorious truth. It is finished, cried the Lord in his dying minute. Holy Ghost, repeat the word, full salvation's in it. Now the gospel can be preached with authority. Blessed be God. Yea, with a thus saith the Lord. He who is the author of it, the sum and substance of it, says therein to poor sinners, Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come just as you are, labouring in want of God, you are welcome. No sinner was ever yet empty sent back, who came seeking mercy for Jesus' sake. I would like, as the Lord shall help me, to look at our text from three viewpoints. The Saviour says, All ye that labour and heavy laden. First of all, I want you to remember, as it may be helpful to you, this word is addressed to the living, not the dead. The dead do not know anything about being heavy laden, do they? They cannot be conscious of what it is to labour. I would have you understand the word labour to mean soul travail. You may well read it like this. Come unto me, all ye that are exercised unto godliness, all ye who desire to win Christ and be found in him. I would like to hope a goodly number of you here know such labour. Such is the character referred to. It is the living who will lay these things to heart. How did you come up to worship God? Was there any special concern? Anything going on between God and your soul as you came along? Have there been any sighs and cries and groans? If so be, you might get a Jabez portion. Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed. Has there been any soul travail? The text says, All ye that labour, not just listen. Just a word concerning this labour. Solomon tells us, The labour of the righteous tendeth to life, and it is so with all who are born again. How glad some of you would be if you could only feel sure that you are alive in things divine. You will have a labour concerning this. You will be longing at times that God will put the great question out of question and assure you that he has saved you with an everlasting salvation. You will echo the hymn writer's words, "Assure my conscience of her part in the Redeemer's blood, and bear the witness with my heart that I am born of God." You do not always feel as you want to feel about it, do you? Some of us who try to preach the gospel are not always as sure as we should like to be. You must not think that men sent to preach, especially if they are pastors, are always living just outside the gates of pearl in their soul's experience. No. Sometimes poor preachers are hard put to it to reduce their preaching to practice and feel, as one hymn writer expresses it, "Temptation sore obstruct my way, and ills I cannot flee. Oh, give me strength, Lord, as my day, for good remember me." Some of you have had your names on a church roll a long time, and it causes you searchings of heart. I was baptized at the age of 19, and that seems a long time ago. Yet, by the grace of God, you and I have been helped along as a rule, here a little and there a little. Sometimes we have felt as dying, and behold, we live. But there has been a labour. It is a solemn consideration that we must all appear before God. O solemn thing, a saint to appear, grow up with wheat and be a tear. And this raises the question, am I made a real Christian? I want to be one more than in the name. For a long time I have had in my mind a picture, a standard, of what it is to be a real Christian. But as I grow older and have to weigh up matters more and more, I have to say, regarding being a real Christian, it is so high I cannot attain unto it. The good that I would, I do not, and the evil I would not, that, alas, I do. I hope underneath it all there is a labour to be a real Christian. When one looks within and has to say, can ever God dwell here? How well this word fits in. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This word is so alluring. Search the scriptures and you will see how many a poor sinner had to come. Leave not my soul destitute, said one. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me, said another. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me, said Hezekiah. Again and again you will see poor sinners labouring with a solemn concern to get in touch with God and know the truth aright in its power and preciousness. Come unto me, says Jesus, to all such labouring ones, and I will give you rest. In the early dealings of God with his dear people, when first they are convinced of sin, there is a labour under the law. Often the immediate reaction of a sinner born again under a sense of sin and his want of righteousness, such as the law demands, is that he thinks he must begin to do something, inasmuch as the law says, do this and do that. The poor sinner looks around to see if he can do something about it. And he begins to reform his life and renovate it. He leaves off this and that in the world at large and tries to do this and that in the things of God, but finds with all that he does or does not do, he can do nothing acceptable to God. What he wants and cannot find under the law is rest, ease for his guilty conscience, peace for his troubled mind, blessing and healing for his sin-sick soul. He finds at length he is like a man in a bog, The more he struggles to get out, the deeper he sinks into it, and he is reduced to utter helplessness. So a poor sinner, convinced of sin, labouring under the law, learns he can do nothing whatever to save himself. How fitting, then, is the word to such a one: "Come unto me, all ye that labour under the law, to gather some righteousness, and are heavy laden, with a deep consciousness of your guiltiness before God and your hell-deserving state. Come unto me, and I will give you rest. I am Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. I have righteousness to clothe poor sinners who feel they have none of their own wherein to appear before God. Come unto me." Poor sinner, you will never obtain any rest at Sinai's Mount. All you will gain there is a deeper sense of your hell-deserving state, and at length you will come to this conclusion: "And if my soul is sent to hell, thy righteous law approves it well." The Lord help you to go to Calvary's cross, and there you will find the law's loud thunders are hushed. Jesus Christ there made peace by the blood of his cross for such poor sinners as I have tried to describe. Through this man there is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and this man shall be the peace. Come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. How many among you, dear people, this Sabbath morning are in this burdened state? Is there a poor sinner here, weighed down because he is such a poor sinner? Let such a one take courage and thank God he has made you to be such a character. Remember this: sinner, if thou art taught to see how great thy guilt and misery, in every thought and act impure, the blood of Christ thy soul can cure. Jesus says, "Come unto me." If God is pleased to lead you into this truth, he will cause you to learn it in his way. Do not think that is just an elementary statement. I sometimes feel when we pray, "Lead me into thy truth and teach me," we do not realize what the answer to the petition may be. We like to be led into truth that is comforting, but God may reveal truth that is cutting and painful to learn. Truth that further convinces us of sin and brings us in guilty before him. "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." As you get older, you will be searched more and more by the truth of God, and it will not always be comforting. I was impressed a little while ago in reading a sermon of John Bunyan's, and in it the dear man said to his hearers, "Can you find in your soul a thimble full of religion that is of God?" You and I at times may feel to have about as much as that and no more. Do you inquire what a thimble full of religion means? To feel like the hymn writer when he says, "My soul into thy arms I cast, I trust I shall be saved at last." To say with Jonah, "Though I am cast out of thy sight, I will look again toward thy holy temple." How glad you will be to remember the psalmist's word: "He will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer." As I have said, some of us have had our names on a church roll for many years, but you cannot build up a hope of heaven on the strength of a long profession, although by the grace of God you have been enabled to live a life consistent therewith. Such a foundation will not do to build on for eternity. As you journey on through life, things are narrowed down, and a labour goes on in one's heart as life's eventide comes on. Some of us are made aware that time is shortening behind us and eternity is before us. And there are solemn moments when things have to be weighed up, lest treacle should be stamped upon us, our religion and our profession. Oh, how solemn at the last to be weighed in the balances and found wanting, the hallmark of divine teaching. This causes an exercise unto godliness and soul travail. All ye that labour, says Jesus, come unto me. Sometimes you are helped to do it like this, a guilty, weak and helpless worm, on thy kind arms I fall. Be thou my strength and righteousness, my Jesus and my all. Again, from me is thy fruit found, Jesus declares, but you and I look within and without, and what fruit can be seen? I look back over my life and it seems a sad catalogue of sins and shortcomings and failures and backslidings. And how glad one is to stand alongside the publican and say, feelingly, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That is coming. You come aright when you come just as you are, and you cannot come otherwise. Like the woman in the gospel, you fall down at Jesus' feet and tell him all the truth. For thee I come, a sinner great, and well thou knowest all my state. And it is encouraging to feel that Jesus knows the exact truth of our case as we come. O Lord, thou knowest, sometimes brings relief to a labouring soul. Sometimes Ezra's petition is very seasonable. O my God, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to thee, my God. Conscious of what you are as a sinner and poverty stricken in your profession, such experience makes you glad to remember, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And how that great truth shines in your eyes, salvation is of the Lord. Come unto me, all ye that labour, to know the salvation of God. Also, there is a labour concerning life's duties and difficulties, a concern to handle matters wisely. What a labour there is to run home life according to the scripture pattern. I often think how a godly wife and mother labours in her everyday life, each day's work often a replica of the day before. She has to labour on, conscious of what she is by nature, and may be weary in body and jaded in mind, and sometimes saying as David did, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. She desires, as does her husband, to train up the children of God as given them in the way wherein they should go. Great is her responsibility in her sphere, while her husband is elsewhere earning the bread which perishes. Such labour in home life is sometimes so wearing and painful that you feel to come, oh so short, in your religion, that you sorrowfully wonder if you possess anything that is of God. I expect some of you who labour before God under the responsibilities of parenthood often find that you are by nature, that what you are by nature sometimes comes to the top, and you are like a leaf tossed to and fro, troubled in mind and needing divine aid to labour against a turbulent and fretful spirit. It may be your name is on the church roll, and you do desire to live the life of the righteous, but alas, it is not always uppermost. In this soul travail, the devil may tempt you and suggest your name ought not to be on the church roll. And if the members only knew you, they would not accept you as a real Christian. So the devil will argue. But do not believe what he suggests. He tells us we're weak, our hope is in vain. The good that we seek, we ne'er shall obtain. Poor labouring sinner, listen to what Jesus says. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, all ye that labour under a painful sense of failure, ye husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, heavy laden with life's responsibilities, you who have to lament that you cannot do the things in your heart to do and you cannot be what you want to be and what God knows you want to be, a real Christian. Jesus takes pleasure in such poor sinners and says, come unto me, I have everything to bestow that your soul needs, righteousness to clothe you and precious blood to cleanse you. I have salvation to make you meet to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Yes, the fullness resides in Jesus our head and ever abides to answer our need. Jesus says, come unto me and obtain it. What further does he say? Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. How wonderful is the gospel of Christ set forth in our text. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Great inviter, gracious invitation. Approach my soul the mercy seat, where Jesus answers prayer, and humbly lie at his dear feet, for none can perish there. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day for the Free Grace Evangelistic Association amounted to £1,840, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Charles Warboys will preach this evening and administer the Lord's Supper. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Izzard. Mr. Hadley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 1032. How shall I give thee up? 'Tis Jesus speaks the word. I am the sinner's only hope. I am thy gracious Lord. Hymn 1032.
day, as we announce this news, Lord, we do pray that thou be with us. Go before us, in all the unknown way, but known to us. Lord, we do pray. And on Tuesday, open to the new dress. May it be in you. Spiritual prospect. Lord, we pray, may be so here at Christmas. Lord, do the news. Do undertone. Forgive our errors. Lord, do be with us now as we part. Do gather with the children this afternoon. Grant thy help and assistance. Lord, we do pray that thou come up with thy servant expected to see. Do help him at Mount Viewers where he is today. Lord, give him all needed strength. Do bring him up to us this evening. Give him that word to may he be thy messenger of us. Lord, do bless us. Empty send us, Father. Do undertake us. Keep us, Lord. May we be in the Spirit. Pardon our every